Welcome to the Ice Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. I'm Megan, and I'm that bitch from America.
Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Netta?
I'm doing fantastic. Bringing a lot of pirate energy to this here recording. My hair is wet and I'm drinking a glass of rum and I'm very excited to be here.
That's amazing. I love that for you. And I love this episode for us because I will tell you, dear listener, that on our outline of this episode for Worlds 2022, it starts with just the graphic of Kristen Bell just saying, we're in the good place, because we are. It was a good Worlds.
It was a good Worlds. People kept yelling about how this is why we have a post-Olympic Worlds, and that this is why was all of it. It was just very good.
Yes, it was incredible. Also, before we talk about how good it was, part of why it was so good for me, as I alluded to in my intro.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, why were you so mean to yourself in your intro, Megan?
Because I was shouting out those horrible dickweeds from BBC who got kicked off because they called Megan Duhamel a bitch.
Megan Duhamel, a literal Olympian and mother and icon, and she's pregnant again, and congratulations, and she's just like living her life, and they're like, a woman on the internet has opinions, how fucking dare she. Just fucking
nothing is funnier than people saying things on a hot mic. Nothing is funnier than that. That is peak comedy, and it always will be. So them calling her that bitch from Canada on the hot mic and getting fired over it, like, I wish they didn't have to be misogynist, but they've been misogynist the whole time. They started off their commentary by saying they wished Russia was there and implying that anybody who won in the absence of Russia was not a real winner. And also, we don't really know about figure skating. So that's why Megan Duhamel criticized them, rightfully. And then, I mean, and I think these are the same dipshits who, like, say all these awful things about women's bodies and stuff.
Oh, so, yeah. Like, in the same day, they were commentating on pairs, and they were like, well, this one would be, like, easier because, like, the lifted partner is lighter looking than this other couple, which is, they didn't say it as nicely. They were just like, oh, yeah, this bitch's heavy.
I'm pretty sure in the same breath, they both, like, body shamed Ashley and misgendered Tim, and then of course, like, they got into their horrible accident, which is not related but is awful.
Oh god, yeah,
they're like head injuries Georg, like, it's just happening over and over, and I just hate that for them. But
yeah,
anyway, BBC guys are gone forever, yay.
Yes, congratulations, we did it, Reddit, I can't stop crying, we did it, kids. Yeah, the vibes overall at Worlds, insane, unhinged, good. The crowd was awesome. I just want to say that across the board before we get into specific people. The crowd was awesome. And also, I want to say that before I forget, it was fucking amazing to see, like, all of the athletes from Ukraine who did compete or, like, skated some of their programs as a statement. It was so fucking inspiring and awesome to see. And also, again, the crowd, fucking fantastic for them and for the rest of the competitors. But, like, the energy, honestly, like, historic. Like, this is something that we will unfortunately remember, maybe for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, and all the athletes, most of the athletes had their Ukraine hearts, which was cute.
Yeah, I really appreciated just the general, like, obviously we wish this didn't have to be thing, but for, without waxing poetic, like, this is why sports are important to me personally, is, like, this gathering of people and unifying over a cause or something you stand for, regardless of, like, which country people are representing or, like, who's gonna win and who's not gonna win, like, the unification of people. And I know that's very idyllic and, like, that's not what happens in real life, but I felt like the crowd and the competitors at this event, like, really got us, like, a step closer to that, like, quote-unquote Olympic ideal of what sports should be. And I think that was cool.
Yeah. And I guess my opinion on it is a little less poetic, which is just that, obviously, you know, first choice, this whole thing is not happening at all. Second choice, though, if under the circumstances that it's happening, like assuming we can't change the fact that there's like a straight up like atrocious war genocide thing happening, it's nice that we got to see a world championships where Ukraine was celebrated and Russia wasn't invited.
Yes. Also,
that's like the very least anyone could do.
Yes. Yes. There you go. I think as people who are not political analysts, this is as far as we can possibly get. But yes. Should we do figure skating now?
I'm so excited. Okay, before we get into Worlds, we do want to do some breaking news because the off-season retirements have already started.
My God.
And we have a few of note. First of all, Chris Caluza of the Philippines, who's always been like a staple of just like skating really joyfully for a small Fed. Mm-hmm. We'll miss him a lot.
Yes.
Also, Satoko Miyahara is retiring, which I'm sad about.
I'm devastated about it. She is the most beautiful woman to ever skate. We all agree she is an artist on a level that is both inspiring and just unreachable for anyone else. But I'm excited because I think she has like such a fucking bright future as a show skater or a choreographer or whatever she decides to do next.
Yeah. And also retiring is Keiji Tanaka, which is really upsetting for me personally. Longtime listeners of the show will know that he is my number one skating crush. And now he is retiring.
How are you doing? Should we have a quick check-in?
So truthfully, what's going through my head is that the last couple of years, we actually haven't gotten to see KG compete that much because he's been kind of getting pushed out by like this wave of incredible like Yuma's Kageyama.
Is that the official? Is that the official plural?
Yuma's Kageyama.
It's like Bing's Dwenjun.
Yeah. And Shun's Sato and Tatsuya's Tsuboi. So it's like we've been sort of seeing less and less of him. And then when he does compete, he kind of is skating all goofy and like not his best. So
I'm sorry to interrupt. Isn't skating goofy like an actual term in skateboarding?
Oh, yeah, it is. In skateboarding, it just means you're like facing the other way. You're so smart.
I know a thing about a sport.
You do. I'm really, really hopeful that this means that KG will now just be able to devote his full time to skating shows and then we'll have more opportunities to see like clips of that. And it'll be him doing like more weird shit like JoJo and stuff. So I'm excited. I hope it means we see more of KG and not less.
I know people have already been like, well, it's time for him and Satoko to do Ice Dance. And I'm like, I understand the sentiment, but also, like, let them rest.
Yeah, like, literally, even Daisuke and Kana took some time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, just, if like, they give were them, like, to, 2 years to make fucking bank, right? And then have them do the yet another great Japanese experiment into creating an Ice Dance pair out of just, like, people who are iconic by themselves.
Yeah, I would definitely watch, no joke. So anyway, I guess the last person on the list of super notable retirements in the singles field is Alyssa Liu, which I think we're going to use to segue into the women's event for Worlds.
The podium! Yeah, boy!
The podium. It starts with Alyssa winning bronze.
Alyssa motherfucking Liu owns the world and is one of the coolest people we've ever had in this sport for as long as we had them. I'm sad personally because Alyssa and I've had this whole journey where I really liked her when she was very little. And then I was like, I don't know. And then this fucking season, she completely won me over. I would die for this child. And now she's retiring at the old age of 16. But it feels
she's
good, 17, man.
Or is she only 16?
I feel like the Olympic Channel said 16, so I trust them. Maybe the Olympic Channel is wrong. Who knows?
I truly don't know. But who's to say? Maybe Alyssa is a timeless, ageless being.
She is 16. She turns 17 in August. Of course she's a Leo.
Okay, yeah, of course she is. I feel like we were starting to see more maturity and groundedness in Alyssa's skating. And so it's a little disappointing to be like, oh, now we won't get to see that develop further. But the truth is, like, I would give up like all the skating potential in the world on anybody if it meant they were gonna have a happier life, especially for Alyssa, who has clearly like got such a beautiful like life with their friend group and their family. And I just think like if that's gonna if it takes giving up skating to keep that, I would wish that for her, for anybody.
Yes, same. Also, what a fucking way to go out. You are 16 years old. You spent your second semester of whatever the fuck year in high school that is, going to the Olympics and then winning bronze at Worlds. I would be like, you know what? I'm done. I'm, for the rest of my life, I would just do, like, shows and go to college and vibe in a parking lot. Like, this is peak. And I respect it so much.
Yes. I might need to do a dramatic reading of the retirement announcement because it is so deeply Gen Z. It's, like, so iconic in its own right.
It is so fucking good. And before you even do, I just want to say, if someone hasn't read this, if you're one of our very few listeners who hasn't seen this announcement yet, just imagine that, like, NBC and the Olympic Channel and every single, like, sports outlet out there had to quote this verbatim and their articles about her retirement. Take it away, Megan.
Okay, first of all, wait, I went on her Instagram and I got distracted because she has changed her photo to an anime profile picture, which is great. Oh, I can't identify the anime because I'm not cool enough, but
I don't know shit about anime. We all know that.
So it says, hey, with like many Ys. So I'm here to announce that I'm retiring from skating. And then what is this emoji?
It's the emoji that like is covering its face. Like it has a hand.
It's the gasping emoji.
Yes.
I started, most of this is lowercase, by the way, as is, you know, correct and good. I started skating when I was 5. So that's about 11 years on the ice. And it's been an insane 11 years. A lot of good and a lot of bad, but YK, that's just how it is. I've made so many friends and so many good memories that I'll have for the rest of my life. I honestly never thought I would have accomplished as much as I did. LMAO! I'm in all caps. I'm so happy. I feel so satisfied with how my skating career has gone. Now that I'm finally done with my goals in skating, I'm going to be moving on with my life. RN, I'm probably just going to spend all my spare time with my family and friends. And I'm also going to study YKWIM, which I had to look up. Apparently that's, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But FR, this skating thing has taught me a lot more about life than I anticipated. I'm really glad I skated.
That's
so cute.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when those t-shirts were trendy, where it would be like the entire text of like Pride and Prejudice or something on a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Do you remember that trend? I want one of them with just this retirement announcement with the emoji and all of it. I think it's a perfect piece of poetry. And I'm obsessed with them. And I love her so much.
Yeah, and it must be said, too, that it was actually initially announced by Alyssa on her Instagram Live. And apparently she said it so casually that, and then just, like, started talking about, like, anime or something, that, like, people thought she was joking. And then, so this post was, like a no, I'm not joking, I'm serious.
I'm not joking, bitch. Oh, at all. In the immortal words of Miss Coco Montrese. And then she went on to do Stars and Eyes and just fucking party it up for the rest of the week, which is honestly so aspirational. I'm thrilled.
I think I get genuinely emotional thinking about how lucky Alyssa is to have realized that like there's a difference between being really good at something and being really, really passionate and yes, happy doing something at that young age of 16. Because like it's such a big, important realization in life, especially if you're like a young person who has like a big hobby or like a big talent or whatever. And yeah, I just am like so overjoyed for Alyssa that she got to do that. And I think...
But also like, that, like, all of the adults in her life has let this happen. Because there is a scenario where people are like, no, you're not fucking retiring.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that any concern that we had over Alyssa's father being too pushy of, like, you have to change this coach, you have to change that coach. I think that Alyssa was just having a hard time. I mean, I don't know. I truly don't know. But, like, just from what I know of the coaching changing, there were so many coaching changes. You know, Alyssa was in Italy, and then the dad made her come back and go to Salt Lake City, and then it wasn't working out there, and then she went back to her old coach at home and then retired. So I think that it was just smart
process
to know. Yeah, it was just smart to know when it wasn't working anymore and not try and force your way through it if you're not happy. Because I think, I don't know, I think there's a world in which people could be popping out of trash cans and being like, how dare she be a quitter? But like, I haven't seen any of that and I'm really glad for that.
Yeah, because she's not a quitter because she's a world bronze medalist and a fucking Olympian. Like, you can't even quit if you've already won, girl. Like,
yeah. I think it's a big victory to figure out, to know who you are enough in high school to be able to make that kind of a choice. But I think that the women's podium overall is really, really narratively satisfying.
Yes.
In light of everything that happened at the Olympics. Just everything geopolitically and at the Olympics and everything with regard to Russia that has happened. And everything that has happened in women's skating in the past 4+ years. Yeah. Because you have bronze medal going to Alyssa Liu, who is, you know, was going to be America's answer to these little, like, quadsters machines from Russia.
Yes.
Yeah. And instead of growing up to be miserable and crying and disabled before they reach the age of 20, Alyssa ended up being really cool and, like, worldly wise and having, like, friends and a really normal life compared to even a lot of American skaters, even a lot of skaters from any place at all, because a lot, it's not just Russia, like everywhere in the world, there are training environments that are unhealthy for young people. Yeah. And it seems like, and I think Alyssa got to grow up, got to like physically age, mentally age, and then ultimately kind of take her fate into her own hands, which is just the perfect antidote to all of the
and do it without the risky quads and everything. It's just perfect. It's just great. Narratively, just perfect. Good.
And then as we move on to silver and gold, we see two skaters who both this season
have been robbed,
have had international titles kind of stolen from them by skaters who were probably cheating.
Definitely cheating. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Quite literally, we all know we in silver and gold, we have people who are the popular vote winners of Euros and the Olympics, low-key. So that feels good.
I mean, I was thinking about Kaori too. Like, yes, the Olympics, but also low-key, if the Grand Prix final had happened, she was the only skater who qualified who wasn't from Sambo. So like that too, it would be like,
and she would have been dead last at the final, because like she would have
been. It's true. But like de facto winner, the only person that we know for sure probably wasn't on drugs.
Yeah, I hope she's just so fucking proud of herself, and we'll get there. Let me just real quick talk to you about silver medalist Luna Hendricks. World silver medalist Luna Hendricks, which a year ago would have sounded like a bit. And I say that with utmost respect. Like, could you have imagined?
No, it's super true. Luna is just the perfect example of kind of old school skating, like what we would have seen maybe like 8-12 years ago, where we have like a woman who has been training for a long time and is strong and really graceful and has just the most, okay, this is what I want to say about this.
Yes.
I looked up clips from Worlds prior to recording this because it's been a minute. And the only one I could find of Luna's short program was the one with the NBC commentary.
Oh,
and
God.
Tara said something so unbelievably stupid about her that I have to talk about it.
Oh,
because
God.
She said, well, she doesn't have any quads and she doesn't have a triple axel, but she knows how to work the scoring system.
as opposed to the people with the big jumps who just do the jumps? Is that not working the scoring system, ma'am?
It's fucking insane to me because she's like, she knows how to work the scoring system. She can get those quality points and she can get those PCS, you know, really get out of those PCS points. And I'm like, you
that's
think that's
skating.
Working the scoring system? That's what the scoring system was designed to do. Working the scoring system is doing a bad jump and getting a lot of points for it anyway because it's a quad.
Tara. Like,
oh, Tara. So anyway, but it's I think that in her own fucked up backwards way, Tara was sort of pointing to what I love about Luna, which is she makes the most of the scoring system as it was sort of designed to be.
Yeah. She's just good at skating. She's a very well-rounded skater. She's very, very fucking good at what she does. She won Belgium's first medal since, like, the 40s or something, I think, of which is just wild. And I know that, like, a small fed must have been so fucking excited about it. I will say, and we said this at the Olympics and we said it at Euros, and we'll say it maybe for the last time, hopefully for the last time, hopefully she gets new programs. I wish she would have done that without Oriental Mixed DM.
I really hope she takes her big silver medalist confident energy and just brings it into next season with like a set of programs that are much more like her Britney Spears exhibition. Like that for me would be the best.
Go to Patreon to hear me just fucking yelling about her Circus Britney moment, which she does in like a circus ringleader outfit, and it's just so good. But yeah, I am thrilled for her. I'm thrilled for her brother. Honestly, this all just started happening. I know she's been working very hard, very steadily for a long time, but all of this started happening so fast after York retired and started coaching her, which I think is just really sweet.
Yeah, and I think it's also an injury recovery thing. Like, yeah. I think that it's just been like, it must be so frustrating to know, like, this is supposed to be the peak of my career and I'm struggling and I'm injured. And then to finally, once you get better, just snowball so quickly. Like, you could just see on her face when she was getting her silver medal, like, she didn't necessarily even expect to medal, let alone get silver. Or maybe she did, because she kind of knew she could do it, you know, and she just wanted to finally show people she could. Like, just amazing.
And also, it's worth noting she did all of this with a groin injury. And, like, she had this, like, massive, like, bandage that you could see on her thigh for most of it. And even during, like, practices, like, Jackie would tweet, like, oh, Luna's not at this practice. Or, like, oh, she, like, showed up late because she was getting bandaged up. So she's still not, like, completely healed up. And yet, she rallied when it mattered. And I'm not fucking saying skate through injury. You know I'm not. But, like,
yeah, no, of course.
She, like, knew what she had to do. When she had to do it and how to, like, conserve her energy so that she could pop off when it mattered. And I'm just thrilled.
Right. I mean, I think that I'm not a doctor. We're not her doctors, so we don't know. Obviously, we don't want to contribute to the culture of, like, oh, it's heroic to skate through an injury. But
no, it's
the fact
not.
That she was able to skate so beautifully, to me, says that it was possible for her to, yeah. Given what she did medically. Because if I think about, like, Kevin Amos with his groin injury, like, he was all over the place when he wasn't ready to skate. So to me, that says, like, you know, Luna did what she had to do, exactly like you said, in order to be fit to skate.
Yeah.
What I would like to say is that I think that for me, if you watch Luna, her skating is just, like, the epitome of grace.
Yes.
And if you watch Luna and then you think about how people call, you know, certain other skaters who were not present graceful, like, it's a joke to me. Like, no, this is what true grace looks like.
Yeah, she's just she's also, like, a very thoughtful skater. Anytime she skates, I feel like she's, like, really in it, thinking through the story or the significance of what she's doing. And I just really appreciate that.
Yeah, all three of the women who got on the podium, I would describe them as skaters who skated their programs with attention to every beat of the music. Like, yes. Choreographic attention paid to every little note. So yes. That was great for me.
Yes. And speaking of women, let's talk about world gold medalist and Olympic bronze medalist Kari Sakamoto, who has had the fucking season of her life. And
it's
I'm so
just
happy.
Like a dream
I'm
come
so
true.
Happy.
And we kind of knew it was hers to lose. But at the same time, sometimes Kari falls apart at Worlds. Sometimes Kari falls apart when it's hers to lose. So that was what was making me nervous. But she stayed so composed and just did the thing.
I was never nervous. At Worlds, I was never nervous for her. I knew she was going in with, like, the both confidence and maybe anger from the Olympics. And I trusted her so completely. I remember, it might have been Jackie, I don't remember. Someone on Twitter, after her short program, said, the crowning of Kari Sakamoto has begun. And I was like, yeah, this is it. This is her party. The rest of us are just lucky to be there. And it just kind of made me very emo as well, because I remembered watching her in practice at IDF in 2019 when she was, like, so far off the podium and she was just, like, a fan favorite, but nowhere near the level she's at now. And it's just an emotional experience to have been a stan for as long as I've been standing personally, and to see this, like, absolute rise. It's just very, very good.
It really is. Like, it's so unbelievably well-deserved. And, I mean, for some reason, when I think of Kari and Worlds, and this, it might not have been Worlds, it might have been World Team Trophy, but it was the end of, I want to say, 2019 season or 2020 season. I can't remember, but it was when she like tried the quad in her free. It was her Matrix free, I think.
I think, and that was World Team Trophy.
Yeah, it wasn't successful, but it made me feel, it makes me feel like, okay, like she tried it and it's very clear why she felt like she had to, even though she didn't have it. And now she gets, you know, we fast forward to her getting to win fucking Worlds without a single quad or triple axel.
Yeah, because she skates with such quality. I actually want to shout out my mom, who is a fan of the show, because she watched the free skate by herself. I didn't even make her this time. She just like turned it on and watched it. And then she called me and she was like raving about how like how different Kari's quality of movement is compared to everyone else. And my mom like doesn't know things about skating. She was just like, she's just like so powerful and so fast, and like she has like this energy to her skating. And I was like, yeah, this is why she won, is this quality of like just how undeniably good and complete and a full performance it is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I just could not be more thrilled.
Something that was really fun among like all of the posts like praising her for her win was, I think it was before the free skate had even happened, was Benoit posted like a bunch of pictures like he always does, and his like broken English caption was something like, I wish you could all see this in person. He was like raving about her like speed and like force when she skates, and he was like, I wish you all could see this in person, which I think is a very cute sentiment coming from like someone on her team.
Yeah. Apparently this is the first time since 2014 that the world's podium women all represented three different countries.
Oh, this is awesome. I love that.
Which I love. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, it's like somehow intrinsically unfair for a country to have multiple skaters on there, because if you have a strong skating program, you have a strong skating program. But like, you want everybody to have a chance also, just in kind of like an idealist sort of way, right?
Yeah. Yes. I have one last thing to say. Well, no, that's a fucking lie. I could be here for hours, but I do want to wrap up my Kari treatise with one last thing, which is, at the Olympics, I think we were all kind of like moved by the poignancy of, in her free skate, when she lip syncs the word independent. Like, everyone was like, oh my god, it's so, like, meaningful, like, whatever. And then she did it again at Worlds, but it's, like, halfway through the program, and I think she already knew that this was hers. So instead of, like, that, like, angry energy, it had the energy of, like, there it comes, I'm gonna do the thing, wink, wink.
It was so cute.
Which is so fucking good to me.
It was just so good.
It's just like the self-awareness of like, yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, I've won.
Yeah, it's my thing.
So good. Yes. The end.
The end. Honorable mentions?
Oh my god, all of them. My wife, Mariah Bell, fourth at Worlds. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. There's nothing I can say. I've said it all. She was fantastic. Adam was on FaceTime. It was great.
It was so great. And, Wakaba didn't have the best time, and I wish that she could have had the skates she had at the Olympics at Worlds, where the judges were actually fair and the points sort of did matter a little bit more. And the competition wasn't completely fucking stacked against her by cheaters. So I just, like, that was the sad part for me. I mean, a bad Wakaba skate is still one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see, so whatever. But just kind of, you know, I wished that she could have also had that triumphant ending to the season, but...
Yeah, I hope she carries through with the momentum of this season, because she's had a good season, and next season is so soon.
Yeah, and Young Yu tore it up, as always, and...
Of course. She's been becoming a favorite so fast for me, personally.
Yeah, the last, like, several months, I feel like she's really, like... I was gonna say blossomed, but I feel like that's a wicked creepy thing to say about a girl. Like, I don't know why, but... She's really started to, I don't know, grow and expand into, like, her, like, next level skater boss levels is I guess what I would say. I've noticed a big, like, leap forward from her performance, and I'm really excited to see her in the future, too.
Yes. I agree. Also, just a whole bunch of amazing women were there. Karen Chen also didn't have, like, the best time, but she's always beautiful. Josephine Taliagard made the free skate, and I got to see her Joker, which I can't believe I'm happy that I got to see a Joker program. So that, like, speaks to how fucking amazing she is. She just won nationals back home, so, like, congrats. Aww.
I also want to say about her that I just found out that her coaches are her two older sisters, which for some reason I thought it was her parents just because that's more common. But as the youngest of three sisters, I like just started bawling when I saw that those were her two sisters. I was like, ah, three sisters, that's just like me.
It's her sisters and it's awesome. They're always like touristy and like stuff when they travel. It's great. Yes. So many iconic women. All of them. I'm looking at the list right now and all of them are fantastic. My one last thing is that I would like for Dasha Grom to drop, like, an extensive workout video or, like, become, like, a fitness influencer because I want to know how to get those arms. My God, she is so ripped.
Yes, indeed. So that's women.
That's women. I just think that women. And now let's think about boys.
Let's
do it. Oh, if you're new here, hi, we call the men boys and sometimes people are mad at us about it, but it's a term of endearment. We respect those men so very much, but they're also just boys, you know?
They're also just guys. They're boys. I don't know. Every time we've talked to an actual like famous male figure skater, they're like, yeah, you can call me a boy. I don't care.
In this boyish voice, all of them.
Well, yeah, they all the ones we've talked to do have kind of boyish voices.
Let's talk about this podium. Let's talk about the world's podium.
Okay, so in third place with the bronze medal is Vincent Zhou of the USA.
Okay.
Yeah, look, I'm starting to, I don't know, we've been hard on Vincent and I'm kind of like, you know what? He's had a hard few months and I think I'm really glad that he got to sort of end it on more of a triumphant note. I said in our Patreon episode that I prefer him as a gala skater, yeah. I think, because his whatever energy he gets in him when he knows that there's a competition on the line kind of spoils the skate for me a little bit. It's just a little bit too visible.
It's very intense. Yeah, it's intense in like an uncomfortable way.
Yeah, but I think that he does have a lot of beautiful skating to show, and I don't know. I was just really relieved and happy for him. Like, he's, you know, been really open about his struggles with mental health stuff and how hard it's been for him. And I think that's really, like, brave to talk about. And
oh, yeah,
about.
Of course. Especially as, like, a man and, like, an athlete and stuff. Like, there are so many stereotypes about, like, having to be tough and stuff. So I, like, really, really respect him being very open. I'm still not 100% sold on the skating itself. Like, but
no, for
he
sure.
doesn't need to be my favorite. I did say this on Patreon and I will repeat myself. I, much like Luna's Oriental Mix, hope to fucking God he gets new programs. Because if I have to listen to Vincent one more time, I can't. I'm going to have to start writing long Instagram posts about my own depression if I have to sit for this again.
Yeah, I wish he would do more stuff like he does with his exhibitions where it's just sort of like soft little like sad indie songs. You know what
give
I mean?
Him, like, give him his, like, Love is a Bitch arc. I think he deserves it.
Yeah. I would like to see that for him. Also, apparently, he's, like, kind of friends with Alyssa Liu now, and that makes me feel like he's maybe a good person, because I trust her as a judge of character.
Yeah, he's been around, like, the good eggs of Team USA, so maybe he's not as much of, like, a conservative piece of shit as the internet likes him to think that he is. But who knows?
I mean, truthfully, going to a cat cafe with somebody who uses she, they pronouns is approximately as, like, hard evidence to the contrary of the evidence that we had that he was a transphobe. It's all just, like, the world's reachiest shit, right? So I think...
I still would like him to say trans rights, though.
Of course. Likewise. All right. In second
silver,
place.
In silver, we have a child who continues to be surprised that he keeps winning.
I really hope... I don't know. I hope that he gets a little less surprised going forward because it's not surprising to anybody else at this point.
As deeply charmed as I am by Yuma and his entire deal, I cannot wait for him to... I can't wait for the confidence that he deserves to click. because he can be, he already is on a technical level such a danger. And I just think that knowing that he's the shit could like buoy him up so much. And I'm so excited to see where this goes.
Me too. And I especially am looking forward to seeing what like early 2000s blockbuster he skates to next time, because we've seen Avatar and we've seen Gladiator. And so now I'm looking forward to like
Troy,
Da Vinci Code, Christopher Nolan. Could be anything. Troy, yeah.
Troy was the first thing that came to my mind. The Fast and the Furious franchise.
Oh, wow. You know, his dad is his coach, and so you know family is important to him.
Oh, my
so
God. Family is important to him.
Tokyo Drift. He's in Japan. It's perfect.
Well, there you have it, folks. Hi, tweet us. People have been recently doing this thing where they tweet about the bits that they're enjoying while they're listening, which makes my life so much better than it used to be. If you're at this point listening and thinking of a film, tweet at us with a pitch for a early 2000s blockbuster that Yuma Kageyama should skate to, please.
Please, we need it. Yeah, didn't
he do a Lord of the Rings at some point?
Oh my God, did he?
Am I misremembering this? Oh no, he did!
When?
Last season, he did Lord of the Rings as well.
Oh yeah, he did. Holy shit. So it's like we have certain DVDs at home and this is where we're pulling from.
Yeah, we just remember what young Neda used to see at the outdoor open-air cinema in the early 2000s in Bulgaria, and we just do those soundtracks.
Although, we've had a running bit of like, oh, was that like the one movie on HBO in Japan that summer? But then I saw an interview with Kaori where she's like, I actually haven't seen Gladiator. I really wanted to watch it when I was like assigned this music, but I couldn't find it anywhere. And I'm like, it's not even like easily available in Japan. Why the fuck is it being assigned to every top Japanese skater? Like, it's just making less sense.
It's even weirder. I know. Wait, Megan, if Yuma is just doing early 2000s blockbusters, does that mean that in the future we might get Pirates of the Caribbean, Yuma?
I was thinking that earlier. I was thinking that and I was like, I don't even want to say it out loud because I want it to happen so bad. I don't want to jinx it.
I think everyone is so hard in their pirate phase right now that I think we deserve it.
I completely agree. So let's keep our fingers crossed for Pirate Yuma.
Pirate Yuma would make me so happy, but for Pirate Yuma to happen, he has to like buy into his own fantasy. Pirate Yuma requires just a level of swagger that like I think he deserves after the season he's had.
Yeah, pirates don't have time to put their little hands in their pockets sheepishly. They have to hold their swords.
Killed me personally just now.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, that was very funny to me. Good for you. You're so funny, Megan.
Oh my God, stop. Thank you. Shall we go on?
Yes!
The protagonist of the sports anime that is real life, Shoma Uno, winning gold at Worlds.
What is there to say? We've made every single joke. We've made every single tearful explanation of why this is important. I just want to know when we're getting the biopic.
Like, seriously, do I have to make it? I don't know how to make movies. Neda, your sister's a filmmaker. Do you think she would do it?
Yeah, if you wanted to be like an indie short filmed by a bunch of like London queers and my sister, yes.
Yeah. Like, or if they're not going to make more Yuri on Ice, which like, you know, I want them to. I hope they are. But like, there is a market for an anime.
Oh my God, the Shoma anime.
Like the Shoma sports anime.
The Shoma anime.
Okay, know, but girl. Consider. Wait, I need to say something really, really cursed now.
Yes,
which
please.
Is that Stefan Lanvier canonically exists in
the Yuri on Ice universe.
So he might actually be like an intellectual property that they can't then carry over into this new franchise.
No! So, like, in Yuri on Ice, Steph is one of the few real people who exist. And then in the Shoma anime, he has to have like a different, vaguely European coded coach that he goes to.
Yes.
Like a fantasy. Like he straight up goes to like.
His name is like Pierre Lamontagne or something.
Yes.
Oh, man. Honestly, though, speaking of Stefan, this is what I want
speaking
to happen.
Speaking of
now.
Stefan, yes.
As I always am. I hope now that everybody who said, oh, Stefan doesn't, he's not a serious coach or whatever. I hope that they all eat shit. And I hope that everybody sees that Stefan has just coached a world champion. I hope we see tons more skaters flocking to Champéry. And there are a lot of reasons I hope this. One, I want Stefan to have all the money he deserves.
Yes.
I want the skaters, I want all the skaters of the world to have the beautiful life that they would have at Champéry.
Yes.
Because you get to eat Denis Vasiliev's lasagna and, like, play with cats and look at the mountains. It just looks
fucking
great.
God, it sounds so good.
Third of all, they would all have this, like, beautiful choreography that they would get there. So it's a win for the audience as well. It's like, I really need to see this migration happen just for the good of everyone.
Everyone deserves the Stefan Lambiel arc. I just think it's so
I deserve
good.
A Stefan Lambiel arc.
Yes. Everyone deserves this. And Steph should be so fucking proud of everything that he has done. I think there was like a weird, and we can go into the social implications of why people were like not taking him seriously when he started coaching. But like, I hope everyone who ever questioned this beautiful zebra man feels bad.
Agreed.
Oh, also, it is continuing. One thing, I'm not going to go into like the specifics of Shoma's performances, because he was perfect and beautiful as always. I'm enjoying the great tradition that the men are setting at the huge competitions this year, where they win big, big golds, but they just like do one single flip in the free skate, just for, you know, so it's not perfect.
Just with like a shit-eating grin, like, ah, I didn't need that.
Yeah, just like, yeah, whatever. I'm just, it's fine. A single flip, it's fine.
I personally really love it when a skater is like winning a massive title and the free skate music sounds like a triumphant cinematic,
yes!
Like, climax of a sports movie. It just is very good for me. And that's what the Cholero sounds like. It's very like, he's winning.
Yeah. It's just so
I like
triumphant.
That his, yeah, and his, I like that his programs have become Cholero and Shobo. Although I read Shobo the first time and I thought it was someone calling Shoma a himbo.
No.
And I was like, is that, can you be a himbo if you're tiny? Because he is ripped.
I think you can be a himbo if you're tiny, if you're ripped.
Yeah, like it nowhere did it say, I say as though there's a
like
sacred
if there
text,
is a if there is a
it.
Twink hunk himbo Venn diagram, and that's how you get like twunks and stuff. I feel like there is room in this world for tiny himbos.
I agree.
Don't know if Shoma's one of them, because like the whole thing about himbos is they have to be like very unself aware of their himboness.
They have to be dumb, and I don't think Shoma's dumb. I think he's just like.
I mean, not dumb necessarily, just like
spacey,
wholesome, like, yeah, just like not even naive, just like they don't have a high wisdom score, you know?
Yeah, I feel that. So we can argue, well, okay, I will say he's not automatically disqualified from being considered such, but I will leave the ruling up to y'all listeners. But
let us know. Vote in the comments. Can himbo be tiny, and by extension, is Shoma a himbo? Please discuss. This is a serious
podcast.
Well,
we know one thing he is, and that is the reigning world champion.
God, it feels good. I'm so happy. Also, I think I saw somewhere that he was on one of the like Stars on Ice tours in Japan, and Nathan was there, and apparently Nathan congratulated him in private, and then Shoma was like, I was happy that he congratulated me in private because it was a very nice private moment, so now I'm talking about it in this interview, which I think is so funny to be like,
oh my god,
oh, this is like a nice little like personal exchange we're having. Anyway, let me go give an interview about it.
My favorite, okay, but like, I'm so glad you brought that up, because my favorite bullshit made up stretch of a scandal of the week was when people tried to cancel Shoma because he said something nice about Nathan. And the thing that he said was like, I was rooting for him to win the Olympics. And like, people were like, how dare you root for Nathan to win the Olympics? Yuzu was right there. As though Shoma wasn't also competing.
Right there. He was, as if he wasn't right there, like also vying for the same medals. My God, people were dumb.
And then my favorite thing, though, was that I think in the same interview, Shoma said that he and Yuma were backstage watching Nathan and just watching the score go up and up and up and up and up. And every single time he landed a jump, just going, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit.
I love that. This is again, not to wax poetic about sports, but like, this is what I love about sports. Like, this is, I don't know, it reminds me of like performing or something and just like watching your friends do so very well. And if you're even ever so slightly well adjusted, you root for the rest of your friends. Like, it's not all, I think like sports media and like performance media really trains people who are not athletes or performers to think that it's all like sabotage and like drama. And in fact, like, people like really root for each other. And I think that's so fucking cute.
Agreed. And yeah, that's all I have to say about Shoma. I think he's a great showman, a great sportsman, and a great world champion.
Yes. God, so proud of him. Honorable mentions?
Our good dear friend Camden Pulkkinen had the competition of his fucking life at a Worlds that he didn't even know
fifth
he was
in the world
to.
Fifth in the world, Camden Pulkkinen.
Like, this is what we've been waiting for. This is the Camden we've been wanting to see, like, ever
small
since.
Small medal. Small medalist. Small world medalist. Camden Pulkkinen. My son.
Like, just the best. And, you know, obviously, wonderful skating. Really nice person. Just, like, totally well-deserved. So yes. We were really thrilled.
Because, to really date this episode, Junior Worlds is happening right now. So, I've been thinking about, like, a couple years back when we watched him at Junior Worlds and I was losing my fucking shit. And I was like, this child's future is gonna be so bright. And then crash cut to this season and it is. And I really hope, I mean this for, like, everyone, but I really hope he lets this, like, carry him into next season. Like, the confidence of this incredible into this season, I think, can be really, really good for him. And now he's, like, in New York, and he's, like, gonna be in Colombia and, like, skating in the city, and it's just so good. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, it's gonna be good for him. And I think I was thinking about that same Junior Worlds, and I was, like, you know, whatever potential that we were, like, oh, this guy's gonna go out and have this huge senior career. Like, we finally saw that realized in this world, and it was like a bumpy road to get there. But like, I think, I don't know, sometimes that makes it more
come
dramatic, as we saw with Shoma. Cam what may.
God, I'm so proud. I don't know how to segue. I'm just gonna talk to you about Kazuki Tomono.
Please,
light of
always.
My entire life.
You never need to justify talking to me about Kazuki Tomono. It's a non-sequitur I will always accept.
The only man who's allowed.
I just love him so much. He's just so good. And I love that he never gave up, because sometimes there are skaters who are so unbelievably good, and yet, because of the depth of their field in their federation, they never quite get to where they need to, and then they retire out of, like, frustration.
Yeah.
And I'm so fucking pleased that Kazuki never did that, and also doesn't appear to be planning on it anytime soon.
God,
because
no.
Like, he's so amazing. Like, just watching him every time, I'm like, this is art.
Sometimes, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm not doing this for a bit, I hand to God, I do this in my daily life. Sometimes when I'm sad, I just go out and watch the choreo sequence of his free skate, and it just reminds me that there's good things in this world.
Of the La La Land?
Yes. Yes,
wow, that's really saying something.
I know, and I feel like I should, like, apologize. I don't know to whom, but I feel like it's just... First of all, Another Day of Sun is the only good song in that fucking film, in this essay, I will. And secondly, it's just so joyful. It's just so good, and he's having such a good time with it. I can't be mad at it.
No, I know, and he's one of those rare skaters who is one of the best in the field at joy, and also one of the best in the field at, like, angsty drama. He's
fucking
just
drama.
One of the best in the field at emotion.
Yeah, he just really gets it, and he really, really connects. And I think his, like, ongoing collaboration with Misha G is, like, really fucking paying off. And he always comes up with, I mean, sure, like, this season, it wasn't, like, deep cuts or anything. It was, like, Cinema Paradiso and La La Land. But he always, like, has such interesting interpretation of whatever music he's doing. I'm very excited to see. I hope we get more weird shit like his Chroma. I miss that. I miss that program a lot.
Yeah, and you actually just made a really, really good point. Not that I'm surprised, because you're smart.
Oh my God, thank you.
I think you're totally, totally right that a Misha G warhorse always feels fresh. It never feels like a warhorse, because he does do these, like, I'm thinking of the Paganini that he did for Hannah Harrell. Like, he will do these warhorses, but they always feel interesting. It's like
I mean, as a theater bitch, like, my immediate comparison was, like, you see a revival of a musical that's, you know, been out since, like, the 40s, but it's a really interesting twist
fresh.
On it.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the gay Oklahoma that everyone loved. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is a new version. It's not just another revival. That's how I feel about all of Misha G's War Horse choreography things.
Actually, now that we're talking about it, I would like to see the Misha G version of every single Warhorse, because he always, like, first of all, he, like, finds the interesting cuts of the music, and then mm-hmm. he does have a very interesting approach to, like, the choreography and the storytelling.
So Rain in Your Black Eyes, like, the original cut he did for Amber Glenn. So good.
My God. Yeah, this is, we continue to be a Misha G stan account, I guess.
Yeah. And I don't know, the last one, I think, again, it's like, how do you not shout out everybody? I do want to shout out Jinwon Cha, who had a bad time and had to pull out.
Baby.
Was it an injury or boot issues? I can't remember.
It was boots. He had something wrong with his boots. And I think he tried. I think they were, like, breaking, and he, like, had to, he either ended up getting a new pair or he couldn't get a new pair. And him and his team just, like, decided that it was unsafe for him to skate in his own boots, which is always, like, that's, like, such a shitty way to, like, end your season and stuff. But
yeah, I do admire Cricket's dedication to, like, making sure that their skaters are in safe boots. Because I feel like I can think of a bunch of boot issue withdrawals from skaters who are coached by Brian Orser, et cetera. And, like, I think that it speaks to a level of concern for the skater's well-being that is really admirable. But, like, we already knew that because Cricket's great.
Yeah, I agree completely. And also it speaks to, like, a wider scope of looking at people's careers. Because people could be like, oh, let's just push through, it's the last thing of the season. But I think that it takes a lot of, like, wisdom to be like, it's fine. You can just do it next season. Let's not break your fucking ankles over one event.
Yeah, especially because of the trajectory of Jinwon's career. He has been doing so, so, so well at the Olympics and at Four Continents.
Yeah.
So it would just, you know, a lesser coach would be like, let's not break the streak. But I think it was a really good coaching move to say, you're clearly very close to, like, reaching your full potential. Let's not fuck it up.
Yeah, agreed. And now he gets to just, like, go back and break in new boots and skate all summer and come back so strong. Very exciting.
Totally. So very exciting. And I hope that he continues his clock arm choreography next season. I wonder what he could do. Let us know on Twitter if you can think of a good clock song. Maybe something like, what's that Madonna song that's like,
time goes by so slowly.
Yeah, with the ABBA sample, and it's like,
isn't it like Madonna and, like, Justin Timberlake or something?
That's 4 seconds to save the world, but then there's another, is that the same one?
I don't know. I'm not sure if those are two separate songs.
Do we need a Madonna time medley from Jinwon?
Apparently. Also, I was going to say Pink Floyd's Time, just because I would like that more than Madonna, but that's just amazing. Me. Right?
Give Jinwon a Pink Floyd medley.
I would lose my entire shit. I love Pink Floyd so much. I would truly lose my mind.
Okay, but now I'm thinking again about Madonna, because he was just in Vogue, so we could do Vogue as well.
Like, oh my God. I mean, look, if Papadakis and Cicerone can fucking win everything with honestly kind of questionable whacking, then yes. Please don't dox me. But yes, if they can Vogue, he can Vogue. Everyone gets to Vogue. I will say, I'm dunking on Papadakis and Cicerone, but they have been very, like, smart about using, like, whacking and Vogue movement, and they have talked about, like, the history of the movement and stuff, so it's fine. I just have questions about it.
Well, I think it's natural to be critical of something that you're, like, immersed in a real way, and then to see it translated to figure skating, it's always like, how is that bar gonna be cleared, you know?
Yeah, but they have been very, very smart about it, and I don't get to police, like, how queer people do their art. So I'm not gonna. Is this it? Is this Worlds?
I think that's Worlds.
This is Worlds. Do we have other things to say? We kind of covered Social Media Corner.
Yeah, I mentioned that Alyssa and Young Yu and Vincent Joe went to a cat cafe, which I appreciated, because when I went to Greensboro Nationals, I went to a cat cafe in my downtime, and so I can attest that it's a really good way to spend your time if, like, most of your weekend was spent in an ice rink, because,
like,
ice rinks, ice rinks typically don't have that many cats in them, and so a cat cafe is a great place to go to sort of contrast that, because they do typically have more cats.
Yeah, there is a cat cafe in Sofia, which I'm pretty sure is a front for something, because it is a cat cafe, but it's never
open. Are they selling catnip?
I don't know, but it's like, it's one of those places, you know, like when there's like cafes or bodegas or something where it looks open, but it's always the same people there, and you feel like it's just a space for like the owner and their friends, and they're definitely doing something they're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I'm from Providence, Rhode Island, born and raised, so yes, I'm familiar with the concept of a front.
No, but like constantly just like, and there's not a lot of cat cafes in Sofia, so it's not like it's like inconspicuous, so I'm very confused.
Wait, but
about
that's
it.
A fucking brilliant front, because if the cops come, just like take out a bunch of cats and just be like, these are our cats.
Hello, Mr. Cop. Would you like to hold this orange cat? Don't worry about the crime we're doing.
I'm picturing it being a front specifically for an organized crime boss who's also like Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget and like one of those cat petting villains, you know?
Oh my god. He like turns around. He has 7 cats. He's like, I've been expecting you.
Yeah.
Finally, we have to write that sketch now.
I want to write that sketch where it's like,
no, no one copy this, please. TM, TM, TM. We're doing the cat cafe front, business front, crime boss, cat person.
Don't steal it. Awesome. So, speaking of other cool stuff that we're doing.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, that we're actually doing. That's not a bit.
It's not a bit.
We have a really, really exciting announcement that we've been sitting on for almost a year. Really, really, really
about
long
9
time.
Months. This is a literal baby. We're
we
not
started
having
talking
a baby.
About this. We started actually talking about this in June. So it's actually almost been a year.
Jesus Christ. Tell the people, Megan. I'm just going to sit back here and scream.
We are launching a second podcast.
Oh my God, we are? What is it?
We are. It is called Quest Laid Plans, and it is a D&D podcast. If you've been listening for a while, you know that Netta and I are both really passionate about D&D, and I also, like, am a player on another D&D podcast called Eclipse, and the two of us just play constantly on streams and at home and all that good stuff. So we wanted to do our own, and we got together a bunch of our wonderful friends, and we have recorded a really cool series for you guys. So we're going to start releasing it on May 10th, and we're going to be dropping teasers soon, and it's really exciting that we can finally talk about it. So if you've seen us talk about like a secret project that we're excited about, that's what it is. Quest Laid Plans.
Oh my God, tell all of your friends. And if you've never like engaged with D&D and you're just here for the figure skating, basically all it is the two of us and a bunch of amazing, fantastic friends and artists get to tell a story that we create together. And we get to fight a bunch of monsters, and Megan makes us suffer a lot. So even if you don't know how the game works, you're gonna have fun, and please join us. It's a new adventure, and we're very excited about it.
Yeah, it's essentially a improvised fantasy story, and occasionally we roll dice to determine what happens. It's really funny and heartfelt, and we're really, really proud of it. It's the basic story is about a group of adventurers who kind of saved the world when they were like adolescent age-ish, and
then they retired. They were the illicit love adventuring.
They were. And then 10 years later, they all sort of come together to face a new challenge, but they've all changed an enormous amount and have to kind of reckon with that. So yeah, stay tuned for that. If you want to follow that on social media, we are at QuestLaidPlans on Twitter, QuestLaidPlans.com. And yeah.
Get excited. Tell your friends. Come join us. Oh my God, I'm so excited. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Yo, Megan is such a good DM. You're gonna
love such
it.
A good player.
Oh, shut up.
There's also a handful of little skating Easter eggs that I threw in for y'all.
Yes,
if you want,
of course.
For the crossover fans.
Just because our brains are broken, I think, is the reason. So yeah, this is our announcement. We're gonna be dropping links to the socials and stuff. Please, please join us. It's gonna be so good. So good.
Yay. Yeah.
That's it. This is the season finale of this competitive season.
Yeah, like we might do something for Junior Worlds, but we might not. It depends on honestly how Quest Laid Plans rollout goes, if we're being super honest. It's crazy to roll out a podcast and also have an existing one, and we're not by any means going on hiatus or anything. We'll still update over the summer.
Also, we decided to do this during the Olympic year, which don't ask us why we did that. Don't.
Don't worry about it. We're stupid and insane.
Don't question it.
You know who's not stupid and insane? You know who's actually like the best people on earth?
The patrons. Patreons? The Patreon supporters who keep our lights on in the metaphorical studio and help us make this happen. And they're just the best people in the world and have been such a growing collection of amazing people. Yes. Tell me who they are, Megan.
We got a new one in the last like hour since I last saw Patreon, which is amazing. Cute. All right. So we want to thank the following amazing people who make this possible. Our newest patron as of like 5 seconds ago, Robin is trans and tired.
Same.
We also have a different Robin, Sophia, Tracy, Casey, Josiah, Sabrina, Annie, Magical Zebra in Winter, Linnea, Alina, Kenneth, Rob, Catherine, Margaret, Marjorie, Natalie, Robert, Kate, Skating Scores, Fox Machina, Adela, Greta, Tryhard Radio, Samantha, Jesse, Kieran, Jana, Barbara, Different Barbara, Sunny, Erin, Aura, Sally, Samira, Joseph, KM, In Spirit I Am Always Throwing Plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan.
Thank you so much. You're my favorite. And if you're here and you're listening, you're also my favorite. It's been a truly insane season, and summer doesn't seem to be any less insane. And we're so happy to share it all with you. And thank you very much.
Yeah, if you want to be added to this amazing list and help us keep the lights on in a metaphorical studio, which I think is the actual real life name of our studio now is Metaphorical Studios, then you can do so at patreon.com/icedteapod and join this amazing group of people and get a bunch of bonus content. We did our March bonus episode on the galas from Worlds and the Olympics. Yes. And we are going to record very shortly one for April. So you get the backlog of those. God. And if you want to just watch us scream on Twitter, we are at IcedTeaPod on Twitter. I personally am at MeganKelleher3 on Twitter. Where are you, Netta?
I'm at Netta Marie. That's NEDA. And then just Marie, like any other basic Marie. And you can also find us and the rest of our amazing people over at Questlate Plans on Twitter. We're doing so much. And it's all very exciting.
If you want to see Netta and I play D&D before the release of the podcast, we're actually also going to be doing a couple of live streams on Twitch with our friends at the Majestic Goose Network. We're going to be on their show, MBA Modris Bloodsport Association, which like sounds really gnarly. It's honestly really, really fun. It's just us fighting monsters. That's 5 p.m. Eastern time on Monday, April 25th at twitch.tv/Majestic Goose Network. And then at the same place on April 30th, which is a Saturday, from 2:30 to 4:30, Netta and I are going to be on a stream that Majestic Goose is doing that is a 24-hour charity stream benefiting the Cincinnati Children's Hospital, which is an amazing place. And a good friend of mine actually works there and does amazing work. So we're really excited to participate in that. And that's going to be a different and equally fun and amazing D&D stream DM'd by a good friend, Danny, who's fantastic. So we're really excited.
Hell yeah, we're doing so much, and we're so very happy that you've joined us for most of it, and we'll see you very soon for more skating! This is it. This is an episode. Thank you so much for being here.
Goodbye, everyone. We love you.
Love you, bye!